The elk are coming. The elk are coming. Let me start over. More elk are coming to Wisconsin, and they're coming from Kentucky. To answer those questions, thanks to Kevin Wallenfang, big game ecologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Kevin, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
My pleasure.
Well, I'm intrigued because we have elk now, don't we?
We do.
Where? Up north?
Clam Lake area of north central Wisconsin, we do.
Okay. Why do we need more elk?
Well, you might want to ask that question of the people that are so hard behind this thing. Back in 1995, elk were put in Wisconsin, and this was all grassroots effort. You may recall back in the early 1990s, there was a push by some legislators to see about putting either elk, moose, or caribou in the state, and they did this big feasibility study and determined that elk were most likely to have success, primarily because of disease and parasite issues that affect the other two. And things started from the top down, and quite frankly, back then the department didn't want to do this. We had growing deer problems in the state, mm-hmm. and the department really looked at it as we don't need another big deer out on the landscape. And then things changed. There was a shift, and it came from the ground up. It was grassroots effort. There were some local folks out there, local people in the Clam Lake area, university system, and other people got behind it, and things started to grow. And all of a sudden, our Governor Thompson, we worked a deal out with the state of Michigan, and we had 25 elk in the state. Since then, the interest in elk has continued to grow, and Jackson County is now the focus of the most recent effort here. There will be some of the elk that we will be bringing in will go to Clam Lake as well. But Black River Falls area, grassroots, they've been praying for this and pushing for it for over 15 years now. And it starts with grassroots. It's good for economies. When you look at other states, you look at any of the eastern states that have elk, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Michigan, that brings in millions of dollars to their local economies of people coming to view those animals.
Shooting them? Or what?
No, actually just viewing. Tourism? Hunting is certainly part of it,
okay.
But tourism is a big part of it. When September rolls around, the elk are bugling, they're very vocal, they're very visible. People come from hundreds of miles, thousands of miles to view those animals. And even in the Clam Lake area, a few years ago, the Cable Chamber of Commerce tried to do a little bit of analysis. And even they thought that our small little herd of elk in northern Wisconsin was probably bringing in over $200,000 a year to those local little hamlets up there. I mean, Clam Lake is, you can throw a rock across Clam Lake. There's a gas station and a few bars and not a whole lot else. And when you're bringing that extra income into those little communities like that, it helps.
But elk are what? How many times bigger than the white-tailed deer?
On average, an elk, the cows are going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 pounds. A big bull may be 600 pounds. So 3 to 5 times bigger than a deer.
But a tourism draw? Because it's not like they're standing around in a pen.
But the wonderful thing about elk is that you hear them. You hear them bugling.
Okay.
And, if you've ever heard an elk bugle in the wilderness, I mean, people go to Yellowstone Park and Glacier Park and whatever every year just to see the elk bugling and rutting and all their activity. And it's spectacular. If you've ever been close to an elk bugling, the brush shakes around you. It's unbelievable. And it's an experience that if you were able to have that experience, you would say, I get it. Now I get why these animals
are
here.
So we started in the 1990s with 25.
And right.
What's our herd in the Clam Lake area now?
That herd has grown to about 150 to 160. We have seen growth every year, but it's been slow for a variety of reasons. And the only couple of years where we haven't seen herd growth has been bad winters. Last year was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If we have mild winters at the point where we are now, we should have had 35 to 40 calves born last spring. And instead, we think we have about 5 or 6.
That's
so,
all.
Yeah, that winter was really tough on them. And it's hard to say whether those calves were aborted by the cow or because the snow was still lingering, they didn't have the feed out there to support that calf. We saw in our deer study that some of those fawns actually starved to death in those years where green up is late because there's just not the nutrition for that doe or that cow to produce the milk to feed that calf for fun. So
we're going to show the maps in a few minutes of the new zone for the elk, but why not take our elk from northern Wisconsin and bring them into Jackson County? Some of them.
Well, there's a couple of different things going on. One is with the Chippewa tribes. Our current population falls within the ceded territories of northern Wisconsin, so it falls under those rules where the tribes, dating back to the 1800 treaties, they have hunting and gathering rights. And if we were to take some of those elk out of the Clam Lake area, Jackson County is outside of the ceded territory.
Okay.
So there would be, we call it take. They would have issues with take. And if we're removing elk, they are anxious to have their opportunity to hunt elk in the state. And they have agreed to not take any elk out unless there's an established hunting season. And this would probably change some of those dynamics a little bit. You know, and the other part of the whole equation, too, is that we're still trying to grow that population to be a long-standing, sustainable herd in Clam Lake. And anytime we would take animals out of there, I mean, every time one of them dies right now, we all kind of go, ah, geez, you know, we don't want to lose any of those animals. We want to continue to grow that herd.
Well, 250 years ago, were elk native to Wisconsin, Kevin?
Yes, and in fact, there are either bone records or written records in, I believe, 50 of 72 counties in the state. So elk were common here, like buffalo, like antelope, like a variety of other animals, that as white settlement happened, as habitat disappeared, as unregulated hunting took place, all of those things caused elk to disappear from the eastern half of the United States, completely gone.
Wiped out.
Completely.
Okay, so they've been a success, and tourism and chamber types love them, and in northern Wisconsin. So then there's a policy decision made. Let's bring some more elk in. So where is DNR looking to bring it in, or actually made a decision?
Well, we are actually beyond decision. We have been in Kentucky this winter already, and we currently have elk that were trapped this winter, sitting in a holding and quarantine pen in Kentucky, waiting for arrival to Wisconsin.
How many?
Right now there's 28. We hope all of them make the trip. They have to go through a variety of disease testing before they can come here. We've been working with the Department of Agriculture, APHIS, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, we've been working with them for the past few years to come up with all the criteria, all the rules that require us to test all these animals and everything else. So they're going through all that right now. Our crew is going to be going back to Kentucky. Our health crew, our state vet, will be going down next week, and they will put them through all sorts of tests. And if everything goes perfectly, by late March, they should be here in the state. They will go into in another holding facility. In the Black River Falls area, Jackson County. We've built an 8-acre facility up there that's double fenced and everything else. So again, we have to follow all the rules that the Department of Agriculture is telling us we need to do. And they will have a total of 120-day quarantine period that started February 7th in Kentucky. They will finish that out in Wisconsin, and hopefully by the first or second week of June, we'll have elk in Jackson County for the first time in 100 and some years.
The Journal Sentinel reported in December that the initial hope was to bring 50 from Kentucky.
Right.
Now you're talking about 28?
Right.
So why the drop off?
Well, it's you get what you get when you go trap, okay? So our maximum number that we could take out of Kentucky is 50 per year. And that's why we have a 5-year agreement with them. So we can take 150 over the next 3 to 5 years. And our maximum take was 28. We didn't get to 28, to 50. It was a Herculean effort to get to 28 with the conditions and things like that they faced down in Kentucky. Instead of nice cold conditions that would put those animals, you know, on the feed wanting to come to those baited sites and everything else, it was 55 degrees a lot of the time, even into the 60s. They had high winds. They had, we had horses get into a situation that scared all of the elk away. You know, on the last night of trapping, there were 52 elk right outside of one of the traps, and not a single elk went into the trap. So,
oh, for 52?
You know, it was warm. It was 55 degrees. They just didn't have that heavy desire to eat, and they didn't go into the trap.
Why is Kentucky the gold standard for elk? Why are we not getting them from any other
Kentucky
states?
Absolutely is the gold standard, and the reason is because Kentucky has never had a case of chronic wasting disease. And that's a big concern, you know, obviously for the wild population of animals in our state, deer and elk included, but certainly that's a big concern of the game farming industry. We have a lot of deer and elk farms in the state. So Kentucky has been testing for chronic wasting disease since, I think, 2002. They have tested 20-some thousand deer and elk in their state, have never found chronic wasting disease. And you know, that's really the big one that people are most concerned about. We had to go through legislation to actually allow us to bring elk in from Kentucky, because the game farm industry has to follow us the rules that every animal that comes has to have a 5-year certificate of health testing. And so legislation was passed that would allow us, obviously, because these are wild elk, we don't have a 5-year history on each one of those animals. So legislation was passed that would require us to go to a state that doesn't have chronic wasting disease. We will be monitoring each one of the animals brought in with radio telemetry equipment for 5 years. Every one of them that we find that gets killed, whatever the situation might be, will be tested. So we're following that as much as we possibly can with wild elk as well.
So we know that the elk we're getting from Kentucky do not have chronic wasting disease.
There's always a chance at some point that Kentucky could develop the disease, but they haven't. They've been testing for years for it. And because of that, they have it's called a low risk certification from the Department of Agriculture. And that's exactly what we need.
So. What about the fear that elk would get chronic wasting disease here in Wisconsin?
Well, that, you know, we are continuously concerned about the spread of chronic wasting disease. There are states in the West that have chronic wasting disease in their elk. It is a long-term possibility, but you know what we have done to at least try to make sure that we're not bringing elk into a contaminated situation with mm-hmm. chronic wasting disease. For the last 2 years, we have tested deer in both the Clam Lake area as well as Jackson County. And there is no chronic wasting disease that has been detected there at this point. So
it sounds like an expensive program. How much is it going to cost? Who's paying it?
Well, you know, for the most part, let's see. Let's start with who's paying it. It's being paid for with private money. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Ho-Chunk Nation in Jackson County. There are some local wildlife conservation groups, Jackson County Wildlife Fund. We've been getting ongoing support through tribal gaming money from the Chippewa Nation for quite a few years now. There's a lot of in-kind things going on. We've got a ton of partners in this. The Forest Service, the Jackson County Forest, the State Forests. So a lot of people behind this. There's even a brand new beer coming from the Sand Creek Brewing Company in Jackson County to raise money for this effort. It's called Bugle Ale. There are local...
Is it any good? Have you had any?
I have. It's quite good.
Quite good,
and,
okay.
There's a lot of folks behind this, and the money, you know, there's grant money involved in this. There's private dollars. I just spent my weekend at two fundraising events specifically for elk, so lots of folks behind it.
If we're importing elk from Kentucky, do we have to give up anything, any of our natural resources?
Well, that has evolved over time as well. What we had originally agreed to with them is they want rough grouse in their state, and they have grouse in Kentucky already. They're kind of like us. We have elk, but we want more. They have grouse, but they want more. So this whole thing evolved a little bit. We were going to trap and trade rough grouse, mm-hmm. But what they have determined is that more than actually grouse at the moment, they need good grouse habitat. And so we are going to be cooperating with them to help them get better grouse habitat and, you know, better wildlife habitat in their state. It will benefit their elk and their deer and everything else, but with a special emphasis on rough grouse. So we're going to be assisting with that effort through technical assistance and whatnot, and trying to help them make that happen.
Are some of the elk coming up from Kentucky, are they going to be giving birth to calves?
We sure hope so.
This season?
Yes. We have... Oh, let me think. I believe there's 5 or 6 adult cows among the 28 that are in the pen right now that you would think would be carrying calves. So they will be, we'll be testing that. We'll know before those animals arrive here. But yeah, we're hoping to get some bonus animals out of this thing.
Well, okay, now let's look at some maps. First of all, let's look at a map of the state of Wisconsin. This is the general area for our current Clam Lake elk herd, correct?
Right.
So they're 150 to 160.
Right.
And they've been growing, but not growing as fast as DNR had hoped, correct?
Right. We can go into the reasons for that.
Sure.
A lot of it has to, I mean, there's a lot of things that kill elk. There are habitat issues up in the area, which we think is the biggest one of those. So many of the elk that we have up there right now, they spend their time on very small parcels that are enrolled in the managed forest program because they're logged, they have young forest, they prefer that type of young aspen, young maple habitat. And when those animals were first put in the area, the Shawamiga-Nicolet National Forest was considered the hardest working forest in the country. There was more board feet of lumber coming out of the Shawamigan than any place else, and because of that, we had this great young forest up in that area.
Sure.
Since then, those forests have matured. The Forest Service, at no fault of their own, have gone through all kinds of lawsuits and whatnot. You know, it's to simplify it, they start a chainsaw, they have a lawsuit against them, and they have not been able to log that country as much as they had been. So that forest has grown. So as a result of that, the elk cling to the best small pieces of habitat, and when they do that, they're easier for wolves to find, they're easier for bears to find, and so you kind of have this cascading effect of problems. They've been hit by vehicles, they've died of disease. We had 3 or 4 ones fall through the Chippewa River and drown. So they've died from a variety of reasons, but we feel that habitat is the biggest reason for that. We've added to the overall elk range in northern Wisconsin. We're actually trapping, moving elk to better habitat to try to help, you know, boost things along. Jackson County, we really think, is going to be really good habitat for elk. More open areas, jack pine, young aspen, it should be great.
Are elk good neighbors? You're well aware of the problem caused by deer when they eat corn.
Yeah.
Do they cause some of the same damage to crops?
Yeah, they certainly can. We have seen a little bit of that in the Clam Lake area, but there's not a lot of farming activity up there. Usually when we've seen problems up there, they're the big round bales that a farmer might leave out for the wintertime, so they'll go and eat on those. You know, most of the farmers are picking their corn and whatever in the fall. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of situations where cornfields ended up standing in the wintertime and the elk ended up getting in those. So there's been a little bit of that, but they haven't been exposed to a lot of it either. Now, Jackson County, certainly it's a smaller elk range. There is more potential for the animals to get into trouble, if you want to call it that. The cranberry industry, you know, was really the biggest concern.
Yes.
But, you know, the cranberry industry, for the most part, has told us that they're very much behind this. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a crew out in the state forest in Jackson County, and they were building the pen. And 2 people just were out for a walk, and they asked what was going on. And they knew that there was a potential for elk to be coming in the area. It turns out that they were cranberry growers themselves, and they were thrilled to hear what was going on. So, you know, most of those cranberry operations are already fenced because of deer, to keep deer out of the situation. So for the most part, we're hearing nothing but positive.
What about the potential for elk roadkill? Is that a big problem?
We have lost some elk in the Clam Lake area, and much of that, though, was because people were feeding elk. And so since, you know, in the last several years, there's been rules passed that if elk start to hit, you know, even bird feeders in somebody's backyard, they have to stop. So once that feeding close to the roads ended, the number of elk that got hit by vehicles has gone down considerably. The other good thing, it's good and bad depending on how you look at it. Elk don't travel very far. Our elk are not like Western elk that can travel 40, 50, 60 miles from a summer area to a wintering area. Our elk stay put. That's been bad in one way because we're trying to get elk to spread out into more of the better habitat, and they don't go. They stay right where they are. But the good thing about it is that we feel that we can put these elk in Jackson County You've got an interstate highway that's not, yes, you know, 4, 5, 6 miles from where we're going to drop these elk. We don't think that that's going to be much of an issue because they just don't travel that far. They tend to stay put. And, you know, there are, sooner or later, you know, one is going to get hit by a vehicle in Jackson County someplace. It's inevitable. But we're going to be doing everything that we can to try to reduce that risk. There are actually warning light systems and whatnot up in the Clam Lake area that have helped considerably. Okay. Public education. We even have had a sportsman's group offer to fence off 10 miles of the interstate highway where the elk are going so that that couldn't happen.
They are very popular.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now let's talk about the Black River Elk Range. Thanks for giving us another map here. You have a buffer zone and a core range and then the county boundary. Talk about the which of these is most important. Are they going to be they're going to be turned loose where?
They're going to be turned loose in what you see there as that core area. But frankly, we just removed the core area from the Black River. Or, I'm sorry, the Clam Lake area.
Yeah.
Because elks move such short distances, okay, we don't even think that that core area is really necessary. But we didn't want to go through the rule process of messing with that at this point. But the elk will be released in that what is shown as that core area, fairly close to the center of the bigger outer picture there. But that's what has been identified as suitable habitat for elk. It's going to take quite a few years for this population to grow. Our overall goal is 390 elk in the Jackson County area. But, you know, that can change.
390 by when?
There is no time limit on
okay.
it. But what I'm getting at is that that can change over time.
That'll be much bigger than the Clam Lake.
Right? Well, no. Our goal in Clam Lake is actually 1,400.
Oh.
But what I'm getting at is that as that changes over time, we can change those rules. Those are actually set in rule. You know how rules are. They can always be changed. So if people like them, if they're expanding into new areas and people are happy about that, all of that stuff can change. So this is just part of a management plan.
But Jackson County was chosen because of habitat, because of local support. Any other major reasons?
Those are really the two keys, and okay. it really starts with that local support. There are other areas in the state that had an opportunity to have elk, and they said, we don't want them here. Bayfield County was one of those areas, and now we hear that, you know, things have changed, new people in charge, and they would love to see elk in their county. So all that stuff changes over time. But Jackson County has had ongoing, constant support since really more than 15 years now. They've been waiting for this to happen.
Okay. And the earliest possible timetable for the release of these 28, knock on wood, that they all survive, elk would be when?
June.
In June.
They will be, if everything goes according to plan, they will be in the state by the end of March, and they will be released in June.
What's your advice to the tourists who hear of the elk, to drivers, they see elk? How close can they come? How should people who want to get closer to the elk, how should they behave?
Well, we're actually putting a plan together to help people do that. I mean, we've got lots of people in the Clam Lake area that go and look for those elk up every September and October when they're bugling. We put brochures together. We put driving maps together. We have created viewing areas that are planted with something that is appealing to the elk so that people can maybe go there. There's interpretive signs. There is also in Clam Lake right now, there's actually a tiny little visitor center dedicated to elk. And there's an interactive kiosk. They can go get all kinds of information. We anticipate doing the same kind of things in Jackson County. The Jackson County Tourism Chamber of Commerce is just thrilled to death that this is happening.
What's the best, is there a best season or time?
September. Absolutely September. Yeah, that's when they're bugling. You can hear them from miles away. You can kind of key in on them. But if you see one and it's in the road, obviously you're going to want to slow down. Elk aren't typically like deer. They don't dart out in front of you usually. They're very methodical, and you know, if you're paying attention, you're going to know that it's happening. We had a bull that got killed last fall up in Clam Lake. the woman, the rumor has it that she was texting while she hit this animal. So
I never see.
Should have happened. It's really discouraging when something like that happens. So if you're paying attention, there's not much reason to hit an elk.
What about, now you mentioned baiting early. Is that not legal?
Feeding feeding elk is not legal. So if an animal...
Why? It's so grand an animal. I want to get it closer to me.
Well, like I mentioned, though, it was a big reason why they were getting hit by cars.
Oh, okay.
Vehicle homes out near the roads had elk crossing the roads to get to their feeding stations, and you know, if you're going to encourage one to walk out in the road, it's got a better chance of getting hit, obviously. So there are rules in place that if a elk starts to hit your feed pile of any kind, you have to stop using it.
So DNR's goal is 1,400 elk in the Clam Lake area and 390 in the Jackson County?
Correct.
Well, do you envision a day when we're going to be hunting elk in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, we so there's a rule in place, again, where you know how we are in the DNR. We like numbers. And when somebody set everything up way back when, it was actually put in a rule that there had to be at least 200 elk in Clam Lake before a hunting season could take place. We've been very, very close to that. And if we would have had a mild winter last year, we probably would have been there this year. Hunting is part of the, you know, it is going to happen. It is part of the long-term plan. It will be important to continuing to fund the elk program down the road. But I would also back up and say that when the folks got it in their mind that they wanted to put elk in Wisconsin, it was not for a hunting season. That was not the primary goal. But it is a part of recreation in Wisconsin, as we all know, so it will happen eventually.
So we have 28 elk that are now in quarantine in Kentucky.
Right.
The earliest they could arrive in Wisconsin and be put in quarantine is when?
The end of March.
End of March.
Yep.
Then release in potentially June.
Correct.
Pretty exciting
development. Very exciting. Yep, very much. This is, and you know, we can talk about this like it's, you know, it's exciting and everything else, but the moving pieces that went into making this thing happen, from legislation to rule changes to board policy to all the little moving parts, we joke that this was we think that this was bigger than the invasion of D-Day with all the moving parts that happened here. So we're all very excited and proud of it, and you know, hopefully so far so good. This has been kind of one of those, I joke, it's no good deed goes unpunished. And we feel that this is a good deed, but it has not been easy. So we're really happy that it's sitting where it is right now.
Well, congratulations.
We're very close.
Kevin Wallenfang of the DNR talking about the elk are indeed coming. More elk from Kentucky. Kevin, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Pretty
thanks.
Exciting. Thanks.